everybody, and welcome into episode number 382 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I am Andrew, and I am completely new to the podcast.
Hi, Andrew, completely new to the podcast. Is that your last name, first name?
Oh, yes, of course.
So it's funny, we were talking prior to you coming on, you know, you've been a district trivia host now for what, 3-4 years? It's been a while. Mm-hmm. One of our rock stars. And we said, Nick and Michael and myself all were like, Andrew, this, you've been on the podcast before. We don't even have to explain what to do. And you're like,
never.
Never. So we all have this like all three of us have a false memory of you being in this studio.
And I'm very honored. It says a lot about what you think about me. But no, this is my first time. And I'm really excited to be here. I also had dental surgery this morning. So it shows how committed I am to being here.
Yeah. If I had to bet, If we had, you know, we were having the discussion beforehand, if I had to bet, I would have said that Andrew had both been on a Zoom version of the podcast in addition to having been like in the studio or back in the old studio. Like I would have said 3 or 4 podcasts is how many Andrew had been on.
We all seem to have a different false memory of when he was on the podcast, too.
Yeah.
Like, depending on location and where we filmed, it's...
You know, honestly, I had a dream last night that I somehow ran into Lin-Manuel Miranda because, you know, obviously we're still on the Hamilton thing because we talked about that last week and did so many puns. And I had a dream that I you know, crossed paths and I was like, you should come on our trivia podcast thing. And then I was like, and my way to impress him was saying that, like, did you know that Hamilton didn't know what dinosaurs were? And like, that was my, like, and yeah. He's like, what are you talking about?
That is so on brand. I could absolutely see that happening.
Yeah.
Well, someday Lin-Manuel Miranda come on this show. But today we have somebody just as exciting and wonderful, and that is Andrew. Can you rhyme and sing at all?
My background is in musical theater. So if you somehow get me drunk between now and the end of this podcast, then maybe I'll sing for you.
What's that? Back for a knock episode at your door?
Okay, well, Michael, since you're the one knocking at the door, why don't you kick us off with your fact?
Well played. Okay, so my fact has to do with the United Kingdom.
Mm.
Mm.
Speaking of Hamilton, as we were. See how I did that?
My question is this. The first fact. That's impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my question is this. Who is the only person in the UK that is not required to have a drive?
You broke up. Say that last part. Not required to have a what?
Not required to have a driver's license in order to drive legally.
Is it the Queen?
It is the Queen. Here's the more interesting piece of this, though.
Okay.
Why?
All right. Wow. So the Queen, what do we know about the Queen? because she's not legally allowed to drive. Because, is that
she
what it
is? She's legally allowed to drive.
Oh, she's allowed to drive. Okay. Because she makes the laws.
She's legally allowed to drive. She doesn't make the laws. That's not why she's allowed. She's legally allowed to drive without a license.
So is it just Queen Elizabeth II, or is it the reigning monarch, whoever that person is?
I believe it is the reigning monarch, but it's been so long with just Queen Elizabeth that...
You know, I appreciate her for wearing a green hat and green suit, because the Photoshop images of that have just been wonderful, and I want to give her that little love from me. Nothing to do with driving or driver's licenses and your question, Michael, but wanted to give that shout out.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there were some good ones. And when you make it easier for the internet to make you a meme, I appreciate you.
Yeah. all right. So the Queen in World War II was a mechanic, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Does
that was
that
on the
have
crown.
Anything to do with it?
It does not.
Okay. So, I mean, she's the Queen. She gets to do what she wants. She owns everything, and she can just, you know, make up the rules. That's one of those, like, oh, she doesn't make the laws, but, I mean, let's be honest. Who's going to prevent her from doing stuff?
I don't know. I feel like she just kind of hangs out a bunch lately. I feel like in the last couple years, people are kind of like, yeah, this royalty thing.
Yeah.
Probably not ideal.
If you were the queen, wouldn't you go to like the Tower of London and like put on the crown jewels and go, they're mine. I can do what I want.
Yeah. Somebody open this for me.
I'd be a terrible monarch.
Yeah. I keep thinking of the Monty Python quote, like women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. And I feel like that's kind of where the UK as a whole is right now in terms of the monarchy, obviously everybody loves the queen.
I was watching this is how much of a nerd I am. I was watching like a Star Trek spoof, like a fan made like home Zoom based Star Trek spoof the other day. And it starts out with like the year is 2645. All of Earth has been, aligned into a United Federation of Planets, except for the UK, which is still trying to leave the EU.
Andrew, what's your guess? What are your thoughts?
Oh, God, I don't know. I also feel I'm on this same like thinking point of she can do whatever she wants. Or maybe like when she was a kid, like King George, that was her father, right? King George was like, I'm going to make my daughter special and she's not going to need a driver's license to drive. And like, maybe they made an exception for her when she was a kid before she was the monarch.
So a little bit of a hint here. It is a little bit more of an administrative reason.
Oh, she didn't want to wait. She doesn't have time to wait in the lines at whatever their version of the DMV
is. Oh, yeah.
I think you just have the DMV come to Buckingham Palace, don't you? Just like, hey, I need you guys come over.
Is it something about like not being allowed to take a picture of her for some reason so she can't get a driver's license?
Not like that.
The Queen's vision is not allowed to be tested by such commoners as the DMV.
That is it, as actually because of a 1645. No.
Or her photo can only be like located in certain places and she can only be photographed under certain circumstances.
Nothing like that.
All right, Michael, tell us. You stumped us.
So it is because all, and it actually factors in for passports as well, all passports and driver's license are issued under her name.
Oh.
So it's on every one of those. It's by issue of Queen Elizabeth II. Here's your driver's license.
Okay, and you're not, and there's a rule about not being able to issue it to yourself? It'd be self-serving.
Right, exactly.
But literally.
I found it interesting. I felt like sharing that with you all.
Sure.
I feel like that's not prohibitory, though. Like, she could just say it's still.
Yeah, no, it's probably not prohibited. I issue this to myself, but because of that technical loophole, she isn't required to have a driver's license to drive on public roads.
So technically, she approves everybody's driver's license. So it's just a given that she would approve herself, and therefore she doesn't need one.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I get it. No, that's a rule I can very much get behind. I would like to be in that position. I'd love to tell you why I'm right, but I don't need to because I'm right.
That's how I run my trivia nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it's just like
rule
being
number
a trivia
three.
Host.
Yeah, it's rule number three. It's not on my packet. Sorry. Yeah. I know I printed the packet.
All right, guys. I actually have a really good segue here. All right?
Oh, go for it. I was going to shoehorn something in.
No, I got it. Okay, so we're talking about the queen. And I'm going to transition now into the queen of professional wrestling, and that is the Charlotte Flair. Okay, so Charlotte Flair is known as the queen, as you guys know, dressed up in that costume for my bachelorette party. And she is the daughter of Ric Flair, a.k.a. Nature Boy. You guys have heard of Ric Flair, yes?
Yes.
Woo! Yes. Yes. If there's one thing you want on a bachelorette party, it's just a bunch of drunk bros wooing at you all night. And that I was succeeded. But anyway, my interesting fact is about Ric Flair. You guys know, I don't want to break the bubble, but professional wrestling is a little bit fake in the sense that they're not really punching everybody in the
face. Hang on.
Yeah. I hope I didn't spoil anything for you guys.
I
don't know what to do anymore. Like, that was the only thing holding it together during this trying times.
Just packing it in.
So Ric Flair was featured in a 30 for 30 Nature Boy on ESPN. It came out a while ago, a couple years ago. And I just watched it for the first time because, you know, I have time for the first time ever. And part of this was asking about how he got to be so good at selling the moves and how he got to the point where he could punch something so hard and look like he's selling it 100%, but it's, you know, you're still thinking that person is causing fame, and that's part of the performative art of professional wrestling. So my question to you guys, and I want to start with Andrew first because you look the most confused, is how did Ric Flair train? So what did he do to get himself to look like he is punching something all the way with all of his might, but still not hurting that person? And I know this is abstract, and I'll narrow it down, but I want to hear your initial guess first.
Okay, so let me reiterate that my background is in musical theater, so I know nothing about this. I don't know. What does someone practice to punch? Was he a movie stuntman?
Practice to not punch.
Practice to not punch?
Right. No, so you punch, but you don't actually land.
Right.
You practice
right,
to, like, yeah.
Right. It looks like you're doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Throwing a baseball?
That's a great guess. That's a
good guess. This is not great. This is not great. Can we talk about, like, Pippin or something?
No, I mean, I think it's interesting that you say that because about the musical theater being so different, because I'm a huge musical theater fan, never talented enough to be in any of the shows, but love musical theater and also love professional wrestling. And I think that they are more similar than you'd think. Like, it is a absolute performance. They are storytelling, true, but instead of through music, they're doing it in an athletic, physical way. And so I will say that I think they're more similar, and you might enjoy it. You know, just, I don't know what? I'm pitching for them right now.
I'll have to check it out. There's so much time to kill now with quarantine and stuff. I'll watch.
Michael, do you have any guess as to how Ric Flair trained?
I liked where Andrew was going with the stuntman idea. What I was thinking was, if I want to go a little bit outside the box thing, I was thinking like old kung fu movies.
So that was actually the first thing that came to mind. Was like Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan actually was the person that popped into my head as like he studied under Jackie Chan or something like that. Because as we all know, Jackie Chan is 200 years old and has been around forever.
Yeah. Okay. I'll narrow it down for you guys. Give me the specific object that he hung in a doorway. So he hung this object down in the doorway and would practice punching it over and over and over again for 3 years until something happened. So what is that object he was hanging in the doorway?
The only reason it's on the front of my mind is I rewatched the SNL skit, but I'm going to say a cowbell.
Okay. So like, you're right. That would be great that the cowbell would stop ringing. He punched it so hard and the cowbell stopped ringing.
I was going to say you adjust so it looks like you hit it, but if he can't get it to ring or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You're on the right track, but you're close. Nick? Andrew, any guesses as to that object?
Like a tennis ball? Okay. So in archery, one of the things that people do in order to improve like accuracy and training is they shoot, and it gets even harder when you go outdoors, is they shoot it like a ribbon, because the ribbon, the motion of the ribbon and the lack of substance of it makes it so much harder to hit. So I was thinking of like a tennis ball on a string kind of thing. And then I thought, well, what about just, you know, like a ribbon?
Yeah, Nick, I think that I want to give you partial credit for that because it is a string that he hung. So he hung like a string from whatever doorway he was in at hotels, because he would travel all around the country or wherever. He'd hang a string and then he would practice punching it as hard as he can until the string didn't move. And that is how he got to the point where he had so much body control that he could punch as hard as he could without actually physically hurting his opponent. So yeah, he used a string to train. I don't know if they're still doing that. I'm sure they have better training techniques now in today's time, but I thought that was super cool. And just picture this, you know, big, beefy, huge dude just standing there punching the string, and that, you know, contributed
just a piece
to
of
his,
yarn. Yeah.
Yeah, to his success. So yeah, string is the answer that I was looking for.
Dare I say, this is like stagecraft. That is very impressive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think that if you ever want to see some really good musical theater-esque costuming between Charlotte Flair and Ric Flair, their ring jackets are to die for. So much bling. So much, so many sequins. They're incredible.
Liberace's got nothing on them.
Yeah. Okay, so who's got a segue now from strings and professional wrestling into their fact? We're looking at you, Nick or Andrew. You got to grasp at straws if you can, or what do you got?
So speaking of being amazing showmen.
Okay.
I have a list. This is a list of the, you know, the top movies of all time, right? We constantly do lists of top movies of all time, and this is a really good one because it's one that has like hundreds of thousands of people that have voted on it, and it's a really huge list of movies. I'm not going to give you the list, and I'm not going to ask you for what's at the top of the list.
Oh.
What I'm going to tell you is that in the top 10 there are two different directors that appear more than one time. Give me either one of the two.
Spielberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Spielberg is on the list. That is one. But shockingly enough, not the highest ranked.
Oh, okay.
So Spielberg came in with number 4, which was Saving Private Ryan, and number 5, which was Jurassic Park.
Okay.
But in true, you know, ranking list rankings, his average ranking is actually lower than the other guy on this list.
Ooh.
I think I got a guess. Coppola?
Coppola is not in the top 10.
Okay, interesting. I know those Godfather movies are almost always in the any AFI list top 10.
Right. Let me see if it's on here. It's actually not on this list, and this is the top 50.
Who made this list?
Yeah, who made the list?
It's a ranker list, but it is 100-something thousand people that have voted on it.
So you're saying the average Spielberg's average score is lower than this person's.
It's just out of the top 10. So Spielberg had number 4 and number 5. So depending, you know, you can do lots of different ways. So, you know, his average is 4.5, right?
Right.
For the two spots he holds in the top 10. The other, I'm going to have to do math here now. So there's 8 guys on the list. The other 6 guys on the list only have one movie. And then this other person with 2 movies actually has both of their movies ranked higher.
Huh. I was going to say Peter Jackson, just with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but I don't feel like they would be ranked higher than a Saving Private Ryan and Jurassic Park.
So Return of the King is ranked at number 15.
Dang.
And Fellowship of the Rings is number 22. So he is somebody that appears twice on the list of the top 50, but not in the top 10.
It's not George Lucas?
It is not George Lucas, no.
Okay.
What do you got? What are you thinking, Andrew?
Is it Martin Scorsese?
It's not Martin Scorsese. Yeah.
Can I guess another one?
Absolutely. Yeah. Go for it.
I think he's a little too funky, and I'm not the biggest fan, but maybe this is just a funky list. Quentin Tarantino?
Quentin Tarantino, no. Not in the top 10 at all.
So I don't get him.
It is definitely someone you know, obviously. It is definitely movies that everybody here has seen with the exception of possibly Lindsay, because she hasn't seen anything.
I'm working on that.
I got another shot.
Okay.
Apatow? Judd Apatow?
Judd Apatow, not at all in the top 10. So
is it Dan Cameron?
Nope.
What about Christopher Nolan?
Christopher Nolan is number 7 on the list with The Dark Knight. So he is in the top 10.
He's had a lot of big hits. I just watched some Hitchcock recently, and I had my interesting fact about his fear of eggs, but I don't know if they were ranked that. Yes, no, Hitchcock?
No.
Is it somebody from a little bit more modern age, or is it like...
I mean, define modern age.
Have they made a movie in the 2000s?
Have they made one in the 2000s? Probably.
James Cameron?
No. Not James Cameron. He's definitely made one in the 2000s.
Also, listing out all these names are really making me want some more female directors in the mix.
Right? Yeah. So, all right. Well, let me give you the rest of the list. So, at number 10, you have John Lasseter, mm-hmm. right? So he directed Toy Story along with a lot of other Pixar movies. Yeah. At number 9, you have Jonathan Demme, who is the director of Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, so, I just watched that.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Oh, no, I mean, I've seen it a million times. Oh, okay. We just did it for my, like, the Rewatchables movie club that we're doing, and that was my pick. The next one we're going to discuss is Drop Dead Gorgeous, which is a classic. So I went from Silence of the Lambs, or Clue to Silence of the Lambs to Drop Dead Gorgeous, really getting the gambit of movies.
Yeah, that's all across the board. All right, number 8 was Rob Minkoff, who directed The Lion King. Obviously, Christopher Nolan at number 7 with The Dark Knight. The Rocky director, John Avildsen, comes in at number 6. Then Spielberg at 4 and 5 with Saving Private Ryan and Jurassic Park. At number 2 on the list is Frank Darabont, who directed The Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that I am looking for who has both the number 1 and number 3 movie of all time is Robert Zemeckis, who directed Back to the Future at number 3 and the everybody's number 1 seed from this list, which is Forrest Gump.
I would not have pulled that, and I would not have put Forrest Gump as the number 1 movie of all time.
Okay. I mean, that's I think it's in the top 10.
I agree.
So then again, Lindsay, you'd put Mean Girls at number 1. So I don't know how much your opinion matters.
Oh, no, it matters a lot because that movie is incredible and I will die on that hill. It's got character arts. It's got growth. It's got comedy. It's got emotion. It's got every single thing that you want in your film. It's got a inappropriate mathlete rap. It's everything.
Have
it's
you seen Forrest Gump?
I have, and I think it's a little bit long. I also think that Jenny, I have thoughts on Jenny as a character and how she really treated Forrest that wasn't fair. I think he deserved better, but I digress.
These millennials these days with their short attention spans and can't sit through long movies, and right. I'm only 2 months older than Lindsay.
Right.
And also Forrest Gump, I had a high school history teacher that like sometimes would just not, I guess, want to teach and would just put Forrest Gump on. And so like I guess I've seen that movie way too many times. He's since been arrested for some drugs, so not shocking.
Yeah.
Andrew, what's your number one movie go to?
Oh my god, my number one movie?
Nick, I know yours is Princess Bride. Like
I mean it's very, very much not up for debate.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you're making this like really stressful for me.
That's what we want in a podcast. You to just be miserable as our listeners.
Every time someone asks me what's your favorite movie, I always like really struggle because it's so hard to pick one. Can I say something that's just like I feel like Lindsay's is very nostalgic, right? And I feel like
yeah.
Mine is also for nostalgic purposes, but oh god, I'm really showing here. I grew up watching The Sandlot.
Sandlot's a great
movie. Great choice.
I especially now, I don't know, whenever I watch fireworks on 4th of July, I just think of that scene when they're like running around and that I don't know what version of America the Beautiful they do in the movie is, but it's very nostalgic, especially at this point in the year. And that's like the movie of my childhood, and me and my brothers to this day still like just use quotes from it all the time. But in a less sporty choice, and more along the line of Mean Girls, I really love Legally Blonde. Would definitely put that on like my top list for sure.
Where does Legally Blonde 2 fall though?
Oh god, I think I saw that once and then tried to forget that I ever saw it.
Yeah, I can't say that I've seen Mean Girls 2. I did, I think, suffer through Grease 2 once, but in terms of like worst possible sequels, no, Mean Girls is got to be up there. No. Biggest. I want to see that list of biggest drop off from first movie to sequel. Like where, what's the biggest cliff fallen? But Andrew, we are just delaying from hearing your fact. So what's your segue from Nick's movie list and directors to your fact? What do you got?
Yeah, totally. So the movie industry has changed a lot in recent months. Do you know what other industry has changed a lot in recent months? The delivery industry.
Yeah.
Yes, all industries, but definitely the delivery industry. For those of us who are still unable to cook for ourselves and craving some really delicious food. So I have a great question here, and apologies because I was really excited and accidentally told Lindsay the answer before this, but I'll have a follow-up question just for her to put her on the spot. But the question is, as of May 2020, which food delivery service claimed the highest American market share at 44%? And market share is the percent of total sales in the entire industry.
All right. So, Michael, how many choices do we really have here? There's Uber Eats,
DoorDash, Grubhub, right. Postmates.
Wait,
not that I've been ordering from all of any of these.
When was the study done?
So this is as of May 2020.
As of May 2020. Okay. Didn't I just read somewhere?
So roughly 3 years ago.
Right, yeah. Didn't I read somewhere that Uber Eats just bought another food delivery service?
This is why the question is also relevant. Uber Eats did merge recently with Postmates.
Okay.
That is correct. I'm not telling you whether that answer is correct.
Are we counting Uber Eats / Postmates / Grubhub as all the umbrella of Uber Eats as being the one company?
No, so this was before they merged.
Okay, it was before they merged. All right. I knew it was recent. I thought May would be recent enough, but yeah, like Lindsay said, it was 3 years ago. Well, then I'd say, I mean, Michael, based strictly off of you and I in the office, it has to be DoorDash, right?
That's what I
was
thinking.
We spent
enough
money with DoorDash to make up for most of their profits, I would think.
We make up the greater Maryland market for sure.
At least, yeah.
Good job, guys. That is correct.
All right.
DoorDash, they actually, I believe they doubled their market share from February to May.
Wow.
Which is very impressive. They were at about 22, 23% earlier. And they did it in no small part because of their subscription model, Dash Pass, which allows folks to, you know, get free delivery on unlimited orders. Yeah, it's just very fascinating. And now Uber Eats has acquired Postmates. So we'll see if there's any shakeups there. But it's gonna be an adventure to see what's gonna happen. They're projecting that the industry is gonna double to about $470 billion by 2025, I think.
Yeah. And as long as there are people that still make the food on the other end to give it to DoorDash, then I think they will. But that's not a given anymore. So, yeah.
Exactly.
My advice would be to learn how to cook.
Yeah. I'm learning. I'm doing some very impressive stuff. What has everyone been cooking in quarantine?
Pies. I've been baking a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jambalaya is for me.
Yeah, that is. Nice. I've gotten to a point with pies where I can now do. So I making the dough beforehand and then having enough of it to just separate out. I have been making these like 5-inch mini pies, and ooh. I can get a whole 5-inch mini pie done in less than 10 minutes. And then it's like 25 minutes in the oven. And then in a half hour, I have fresh pie, which is amazing.
You fancy.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
You fancy. I don't know. I've been baking and cooking too. I got more use out of this KitchenAid than I ever thought was possible. But I made a soufflé the other day. I made crab rangoons. That was an adventure. Ooh, lots of work. A lot of work there. But yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun to experiment and actually have time to cook and be home. But Andrew, I need to know what your question is for me.
Yes, of course. So, Miss Lindsay.
Ooh.
I believe it's Mrs. Lindsay now.
Which metropolitan area? So, for context, Postmates didn't do too well. So Uber Eats just acquired Postmates. Postmates is only 8% of the market.
Oh, dang.
But Postmates, their most popular metropolitan area where they have 35% of the market share as of May 2020. Do you know which metropolitan area that is?
Hmm. I don't know. I've used Postmates way back in the day, but haven't recently. And I don't know. And like, I assume that's probably where they were founded if they didn't come out of, like, you know, Silicon Valley. But I'm going to guess Austin, Texas.
That is incorrect. Austin isn't even on this list, which is very interesting. No, Postmates by far dominates in Los Angeles.
Yeah, 35%. I was going to say where Michael is.
I'm picking all the time, actually. But
right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot you came back. Yeah, I was going to say, Michael went back to back home to the L.A. area when all of this started. And I'm sure that's when Postmates percentage went up significantly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. if it was anywhere between March and beginning of May, actually. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. I have our secret phrase as we wrap up the episode.
Yep.
And it's just going to be woo. It's just going to be woo. So, Andrew, can you just give me a woo?
Woo!
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, that was perfect. So this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. You can check us out, of course, at wedontknoweither.com, but also we are hosting virtual private events. Andrew could be one of your hosts, and he is awesome. So email us privateevents@district-trivia.com. That's all I need to say. So
and we don't know either podcast. Live. And we don't know either live every night.
Yes,
most
on,
nights. Almost every
most,
night.
Yeah. Most nights.
On Facebook. So play trivia with us. We hope to see you again soon. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
Michael.
And I'm Andrew, and I'm completely new to the podcast.
Not anymore. That's not true anymore.
Not anymore. I guess I'm a veteran now.
Yeah. We don't know either, guys.
Bye.